Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter, Genesis chapter 11. Oh, in your Scofield Bible, page 18. We'll be reading the first four verses. The text verse of this passage is verse 3, and then I'll direct you to yet another passage where we'll read a verse after we read this. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs the 18th chapter, and in your Scofield Bible, page 685. We'll be reading the 24th verse. This together, please. Ready? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And let's pray. And Father, how we praise thee for thy great goodness. This is a wonderful day you've given us. Thank you for that which you have in store for us concerning this service. We believe that you had something in mind for us long, long ago, for this hour, for this time. This is a special time. And, of course, if we're to get from the service what we should, we owe it more than our attention. Help us to, with every fiber of our being, to be focused upon that which is preached from thy word this morning. Thank you for our preacher. Thank you for his faithfulness, his walk with thee. For the fact that he teaches us so much about our walk with thee. Grant thy help this day, this service, in Jesus' name, amen.
I want to ask you to listen as I read just a verse or two that we read a while ago. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Here's my text. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and here's my sermon title, Slime had they for mortar. That's the title of my sermon, Slime had they for mortar. The lion keeps coming through my office door. Husband and a wife. I looked around this morning. I can spot them all over the building. And I do it lovingly. I don't do it unkindly. But I can spot the husbands and wives that are not getting along with each other. They're having trouble. They're having strife. Seems like the lion is endless as it comes through my office door. And I have no greater joy apart from seeing someone saved than to see a marriage brought happy and a couple happily reunited. But they come, and she says, he's not what I need, and he says, she's not satisfying my needs, and like an army they come. Now, I promise you that what I'm going to say this morning will take care of all your problems, all your problems. Your problem is you got slime for mortar. That's what you got. You got slime for mortar in your marriage. They come through my office. Now I'm going to pray in a minute, bring the message, this introduction. They come through my office. I could point to several people in this room today who won't speak to you. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you. Listen to me. I can point to several people in this room this morning who there's someone else in this room they won't speak to. I can point to people that will walk right by each other. I don't understand that kind of thing. And my bitterest enemy, brother, I'll speak to him. This last week, I I saw a man who's been one of my bitterest enemies. I bumped into him in Texas. I walked right up to him and shook his hand and wished him well. But I don't understand that kind of stuff. But they come to my office, estranged. They want to speak to each other. They're having trouble. And I can tell you this morning, I can solve all of that for you in the sermon, because your problem is you got slime for mortar. You got slime for mortar. They come to my office. The lion keeps coming. Parents and young people, especially teenagers and parents. And not getting along with each other. Young people want to leave home. Parents would be glad if they did. And a strife between mom and the daughter, or the mom and the son, or the father and the daughter, or the father and the son, and not getting along with each other. That's silly. That's stupid. Christian people ought not to be that way. There's no need for that in the Christian life. But I'm gonna help you. If you listen to me and do what I say this morning, it'll solve all of that. Your trouble is you got slammed for mortar in the relationship between the parents and the young people. They come to my office. In fact, one this past week, one 2 weeks ago, several already this year, business people in the church come, and they talking about some customer that they've had, and there's strife, anger, sometimes mean words said. Now, be better, if you got to come try out that way, just don't trade with people in the church. You can't get along with people, or don't sell to people in the church. But I have to referee. Silly. It's stupid. My Bible says that you're supposed to give in. My Bible says turn the other cheek. My Bible says vengeance is mine. But they come. And listen to me now. Sure, if you're going to talk to people, do that in the hallway. I got some things I want to tell you. May not be life or death for you, but it is for me. And you don't know it, but it is for you too, what I'm going to say this morning. That's silly. See, the trouble is, in your relationship with people, you got slime for mortar. They keep coming. A parent comes and is having strife with the school teacher. The school teacher upset with the parent. No need for that. No need for that. No need for anybody to go out to those school teachers living below the poverty level and bawl them out because they mistreated your child. You've mistreated your child far more than a school teacher has. No need for that. I've said this. Life is a series of human relationships. And your degree of happiness in life is dependent upon your degree of success in those human relationships. And God's people ought to get along with each other. But the problem is we have slime for mortar. I want to speak on that subject today. Slime had they for mortar. Father, bless me as I speak. And those whom I love as I love my own life, as they hear. And I pray that husbands and wives shall find the answer today. And parents and young people shall find the answer. And church members shall find the answer. And employees and employers shall find the answer. And business people and customers shall find the answer today. In Jesus' name, amen. I was in Texas this week. We were making some videos for pastor school. I had canceled out my Monday and Tuesday engagement and where I was to preach, and we went down to Texas. Brother Lapina and Brother Young and Brother Dan Wolf and I went to Texas and videoed some of my roots in Texas. One place we went that's very significant to me was the Miller Road Baptist Church, where I pastored for almost 7 years before I came here. I stood behind the pulpit, the building I had built, and so forth. But the most interesting building to me of all was the first building that we built. I will not go into the story about me building a building and forgetting to put heat in it. I won't go into that story because you'll make fun of me for the rest of the week. But I saw that building, and where I had finished the building myself, built the building, and we're dedicating it. And the mayor was up on a platform outside, almost 1,000 people out around it, and the mayor bragged on me. He said, "Folks, I want you to know this young man built this building for $13,000. I did. There's a fellow named Goforth, a very wealthy man. He'd owned all the land around Garland, and uh, but still lived in poverty level. He's worth millions, multiplied millions, but still had an unpainted house and an outhouse in the backyard, and drove an old Model T Ford that was the most dilapidated thing you ever saw in your life. One day a fellow in town ran into that. This Ford Goforth old man ran into him. The multi-millionaire ran into the guy. And the guy looked at the old Ford, and Mr. Goforth wore overalls all the time. And the guy looked at him and said, "Just my luck. Every time anybody hits me, if somebody can't pay anything, some poor rascal." And the multimillionaire got in the old Model T Ford and drove off. Guy never got a dime out of it. I had to have some money. Our church was growing so rapidly, and the bank wouldn't let me have any money. And I had to have some money. So I heard Goforth was rich, so I went down to his place one day and walked in. Old country house, big old porch, holes in the floor. You could see the chickens under the floor. Model T Ford out in the front, outhouse in the back. And I walked in, and I said, "Mr. Goforth, my name is Jack Hiles. I'm pastor of Miller Road Baptist Church." I was 26 years old. He said, "Yeah, another one of those preachers wanting money. That's all you guys want is money, isn't it?" I didn't even sit down. I walked up to him, and I said, "I'm going to tell you something, buddy." I said, "I wouldn't take a dime of your filthy money." I said, "I'm not a money-grabbing preacher." And I said, "I just came to give you the opportunity to let me borrow some money, but I wouldn't take a dime of your money." And I'd taken $1,000, but I wouldn't take a dime. And Russell Anderson said, "Brother Hiles has never asked me for a dime. He's asked me for $1 million several times." But I said, "As far as I'm concerned, your money can perish with you." And I turned around and walked out. Within 15 minutes, old man Goforth was knocking on the door of my office begging me to let me borrow $13,000. And that's about to be about $150,000 today. And he begged me, and I let him do it. And for $13,000, I built a one-story, 40 by 80 building. I'm talking about 3,200 square feet of floor space for $13,000. And the mayor was up there on dedication day, over 952 people out there outside, improvised platform, and he said, "Folks, I want to say a word about this young man. Not only is he a splendid preacher, but he also is a good contractor. He was the guy that took care of this building and built this building. He was a general contractor." And then, of course, he turned and said, "Reverend Hiles," he said, "the plan commission and I have been talking about this building, and we've been looking through it. It's a very nice building, but," he said, "what kind of heat do you have in the building?" I said, "Heat? Heat? Heat? Yeah," he said, "it's not electric, and it's obvious, and it's not gas, and is it built in the walls, built in the floor? What kind of heat do you have?" I said, "Heat? Heat?" The next day, I took a star drill and a hammer, drilled a hole through every wall up top, put pipes down the wall, and then into the room, and put little space heaters in there. And those pipes were exposed for a long time. They called those the Hiles pipes. Only thing down there named after me, by the way. But I was in that building. But here's my sermon. That was only filler. I started my sermon 5 minutes early, so I had to waste 5 minutes. But here's the sermon. I went to a place, and I remembered that was my office. We built that building. We moved in, and it was nice. It was not elaborate. It was on a par, I guess, with our educational building next door at the time. Just a nice, neat building, one floor. And I walked into my office, and everything was nice, and everything was fine until the storm came. I don't mean a hurricane. I don't mean a tornado. Just a rainstorm came. Next morning, I walked down the building, walked down in the hallway, and water was that high all over the building. Well, I thought there's a leak in the roof. So I called the roofer, and the roofer came out, and he sort of shored up the roof a little bit, and we swept all the water out. And so everything was fine. But then it came another little rainstorm a few days later. I walked in the office and area, and the water all over the building was that thick again. I had the roofer come out again. And the roofer looked at the roof. He said, "I understand what's wrong." And couldn't figure it out. We even took, Brother Ray, we even added an overhang on the roof. So I thought, the water was coming in, sliding down through the windows. I added an overhang on the roof. And then a storm came. I went down to work one day, and the water was that deep. I couldn't understand what it was. Finally, after months and months and several thousand dollars, we found out that there's something you're supposed to put in the mortar. that is waterproof. And we had not put that. I made the mortar myself. I did the whole thing. And I laid the brick. I found out this morning, and we were talking about this in the office, and I said, you know how about bricklaying? And one of the fellows said, yeah, you start at the bottom and work up. But I said, not me, brother. I always do things different. Brother Keith said, you're going to have to do it in a hurry then. But we found out there was something. I tried to find out what it is today. Don't know what it's called, but there's something you put in that mortar. What was happening was we had left that something out of the mortar, and the water was seeping through those bricks and down the wall. And no matter how much we cleaned that building, no matter put an overhang, put added to the roof, everything we did was failed because we had. And one fellow said, without this stuff, it's just slime. Without this stuff, it's just slime. I thought of the verse in Genesis 11:3. It said, slime had they for mortar. Now, the honest truth is, this slime is what I want to talk about this morning. You look at a building and you say, that's a brick building. Nobody ever looks at a building and says, that's a mortar building. It's a brick building. But that brick building is not going to hold together unless you have the right kind of mortar. You've got to have the mortar to hold the bricks together. The bricks will crumble without the mortar. Now, the mortar this morning in every relationship of life is friendship. I want to say three things about friendship in beginning. First, friendship is the mortar that holds every relationship together. Second, friendship is the strongest of human ties. Friendship is a stronger tie than marriage. Friendship is a stronger tie than father-son, mother-daughter, mother-son, father-daughter. Friendship is a stronger tie than brother-sister. Friendship is the strongest of all human ties. Our text a while ago said there is a friend. What it means, there is a type friend. There is a friendship that sticketh closer than a brother. So what is it saying? It's saying that the true friendship is closer than the brother friendship is. It is the strongest of all human ties. Third, without it, any relationship will crumble. I said without friendship, any relationship will crumble. Friendship is not a relationship. Friendship is the mortar that holds relationships together. I'm trying to say, I don't care what the relationship is. If it's husband-wife, if it's parent-child, if it's employer-employee, if it's a teacher and student, if it's teacher and student's mother, if it's brother and sister, brother and brother, sister and sister, I don't care what it is, there is no tie. See, brother or sister is a title. Friendship is a grace. Husband and wife is not a relationship. Friendship is relationship. Now, let me say this, and don't leave me now. Concerning marriage, you get married, and everything's fine. She's pretty, and you're handsome, and everything is fine, and you go on a honeymoon, and you go to Indiana Harbor and see the beautiful scenery over there. I won't see if you're still with me. And you go to Hawaii, or you go to Smoky Mountains or Rocky Mountains, and you stay in a nice hotel, and you eat your meals out and have breakfast brought to your room and room service and all that. Everything is fine. But then the storm comes. The storms come. And what happens? You haven't got friendship to hold the bricks of your marriage together. And seeping through that marriage are the waters and the discomfort caused by the storm. Well, I'll tell you something. If you're not a friend, if she's not your friend, if you're not her friend, don't marry her. If you're not his friend, don't marry him. Because I don't care how pretty she is, or how exciting he is, I don't care how great he is, how rich he is, or how much you tingle when he hugs you, or how much you thrill when she hugs you, I don't care. I'm telling you that your marriage is not going to stand unless you're friends with each other. Friendship. You come to my office. They come to my office. And so, neighbor of the house, We're having marital problems. And so we try to put the roof on. And so everything, the storms are over, and they go home, and everything is fine for a while until some other storm comes.
And when the storm comes, the leakage is again. And so you come back to my office and say, "Preacher, we're having trouble again." You wouldn't have to cut an office if you became friends with each other. I'm saying today, the trouble with your marriage, listen to me, the trouble with your marriage, you don't need to read somebody's book on marriage. You don't need to go to somebody's counseling session on marriage or somebody's seminar on marriage. What you need to do is you need to decide to be a friend of that woman, and you ladies need to decide to be a friend of that man. Brother, when you become his friend or become her friend, all the storms of hell can't stop your marriage. But you trot back in the office again. Realize, he's not what I need again. She's not meeting my needs, you selfish, unspiritual rascal, you. What you need to do is you need to decide. Oh, you say, "Okay, I'll be a friend if she will." That's not friendship. Friendship is not a common agreement. Friendship is not, "Let's be friends." That's impossible. You simply say, "I am going to be her friend. I am going to be his friend." Now, you don't become friends, you become friend. Singular. I wish I could beat some sense in you couples' heads. I love you. I don't want you to go home and fuss and live in hell on earth. But you don't have to if you'll decide to be friends. Friendship is the mortar that holds the marriage together. I want to tell you something, brother. Storms are going to come. They're going to come. They're going to come in your marriage. And I'll tell you, when they really start coming, it's when the children are born. And I'll tell you, when they really start coming, it's when the children get older. I'll tell you, when they really start coming, it's when the children get teenagers. I'll tell you, when they get a little worse, when the children become adults. I'll tell you, they get a little worse when the children go off and leave home. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We got a bunch of marriages in this church that are crumbling, and they're crumbling up because you need to know, she is phlegmatic, and I am, what's the name of those? I am sanguine, and she's melancholic. No, that's not your trouble. Your trouble is you've never decided to become her friend. You've never decided to become his friend. You've got slime for mortar in your marriage. You can come to my office, we can patch the roof, and you go back, but brother, the next time it rains, the water's still coming in. And you can come to my office, and we'll build little eaves out, make the roof a little bit wider. I promise you this, when the rains and storms come, you'll be back in my office again. Your trouble is you're so all-fired selfish, you're not concerned about what she needs, you're concerned about what you need. You're not concerned about what he needs. You're concerned about what you need. I'm trying to tell you, there's nothing wrong with anybody's marriage that couldn't be solved if you put the mortar instead of slime between the bricks. And I'm not just preaching. I'm not just up here so you can say I went to church this morning. I'm up here because I've got the answer, and I'm preaching to you what will solve your marital problem. Second, employer, employee. I was in North Carolina preaching at a convention. I walked down the hallway and the door was open to the pastor's study, and another speaker was sitting there, and behind the pastor's study desk, a man, a dear friend of mine, I love him. He was hollering on the telephone. He said, "I did not." I said, "I did not." He was having a real blowout with somebody on the telephone. He said, "I did not say that to your wife. I did not. I wasn't talking about your wife. I didn't either." I stood outside the door and enjoyed that. I thought, good night. Somebody, some crank has called him, and somebody has called, a griper has called him. He said, "I did." Listen to me, I'm preaching to you. Listen to me, I'm preaching to you. You need what I'm saying. And he said, "I did not. I didn't do it. I didn't say that to your wife. I didn't mean to hurt your wife. That's not true. That's a lie." I'm talking about a well-known preacher. After he hung up, I walked over and said, God bless you, brother. I have enemies, too. He said, that wasn't my enemy. There's a president of my college. I mean, he was the pastor of the church that had the college, and that was the college president he's talking to. Boy, I came that much back to my room, and I said, thank God for Wendell Evans. The problem was they had slime for mortar. I am this man's friend. And brother, we've had some storms, but bless God, the storms have not caused our friendship to sever. I mean, brother, we've got mortar for mortar and not slime for mortar. I am this man's friend. Sure, he works with me. Sure, there are times I have to say to him, Brother Boyd, that's not the way we ought to do it. Something's got to be done. Sure, but let the storms come, brother. We've got mortar between the bricks and our relationship holds together. I'm this man's friend and this man 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 and this man. And this man. Yeah, and this man. We're friends. We're not just boss. We're not just staff. We're not pastor and assistants. We're friends. Let the storms come, brother. Our relationship will not crumble because we don't have slime for mortar. We have mortar for mortar. And our bricks cannot crumble because the friendship holds together our relationship. Same thing's true with parent and child. I am so sick of self-centered, spoiled brat teenagers, I don't know what to do. And I'm almost as sick of unloving parents who spend more time in a bowling league than they do with their families. The best friends you've got in this world, young man, ought to be your mom and dad. And the best friends that your mom and dad have ought to be you and your sister. There's no need for all this fussing. No need. You teenagers, hear me for a change. It might do you well. You high school teenagers, listen to me. Your mom ought to be able to point to you and say, that's my best friend. And your dad says, that's my best friend. You got slime for mortar. In God's name, get mortar instead of slime. And let that be a friendship that will hold your relationship together. I'm going to leave home. You got slime for mortar. My dad doesn't treat me right. You got slime for mortar. I got a rebellious teenager. You got slime for mortar. You got the same problem that I had in Texas when that water kept getting higher and higher and higher. Storms are going to come. Storms are coming. Storms are going to come between husband and wife. But if you're friends, the building will stand. Storms will come between employer and employee, but if you're friends, the building will stand. Storms will come between parents and children, but if you're friends, the building will stand. Pastor and people. Storms are going to come. In 35 and a half years, we've weathered a heap of storms here. But we're friends. A while ago when I said, Brother Boardway said, don't tell that joke. And he was here. He was right. I shouldn't have told it. I wasn't going to tell it, but I needed that little encouragement. Yeah. And I turned around and I said, no deacon chairman's going to tell me what to say. Immediately I was pricked about it. If I could have, I'd told him I was sorry. Been in private, told him I was sorry. I got to thinking. To many a preacher, that would have been his death message. You know why? Because this guy and I have had 35 and a half years of martyr between the bricks of our relationship. This ain't no slime. Storms have come. The storms have come. Some leave, friends stay. Said some leave, friends stay. Storms cannot separate friends. This morning, I'd like for you to become your wife's best friend. I'd like for you to become your husband's dear friend. I'd like for you to become your mama's dear friend. I'd like for you to become your daddy's dear friend. I'd like for you to become your brother and sister's dear friend. Oh, you say, you know how your brothers and sisters will fight. No, I don't. Take the storms of hell. They've not severed our friendship at First Baptist Church. Why? I'm your friend. You've proved your friendship to me. Let the storms come. Let the wars come. Let the clouds roll. Let the hurricanes blow. Let the tornadic winds swirl. But there is mortar between our brick, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. But the trouble is, there are people in this room, in every relationship of life, you have nothing but slime for mortar. You're nobody's friend. I do you the favor of your life today. You'd take a picture of that wife and look at her and say, that picture, I'm her friend from now on. And that means friends, friendship is a lifetime commitment. A singular, permanent decision. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. Thus is, but the martyr's there. Storms, but the martyr's there. Differences, but the martyr's there. Sometimes even arguments, but the martyr's there. Why? Because you can get martyr and nothing can stop the relationship. You get slime and most anything can stop the relationship. Pastor, people, brother, sister, church members. Somebody called the other day. Said, I understand you and Dr. David Gibbs have had a falling out. I said, I've never had a falling out. Because I don't fall in. I jump in. No, sir. We haven't had a falling out. You say you always agree? No, we don't. You ever express your disagreement? Sure we do. But friendship is a permanent thing. And you thought, we didn't fall out. Well, you fell in. That's why I don't like the term falling in love. I don't want to stumble in love. Oops! I'm in love. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the Christians of America need to know something about friendship. Friendship weathers disagreements. Friendship weathers arguments. Friendship weathers storms. Friendship weathers heartache. Friendship weathers differences. I'm looking all over this room this morning at people. The water is leaking in. Let's go back and see Brother House can tell us what to do. Okay, you need to have a date every week. Okay, we'll have a date every week. Have a date every week. She didn't like where I went. Brother House, the water's in our marriage again. What you do is you give her an allowance. So she'll have some money of her own. Got to go see Brother House again. She wanted more allowance than I could give her. Brother House, we're about to divorce again. Well, what you need to do is you need to have your area of decision making and your area of decision making. Can I be see Brother House again? Her decision was she didn't like my decisions. We'll sweep the water out again. Sweep the water out again. I said, you need to pray together. Let her see Brother House again. We prayed together. Her prayer was that I'd do better from now on. Oh, aren't you sick of being like heathen? Aren't you sick and tired of acting like unsaved heathen? I'm saying your trouble is you've got relationships, but you don't have friendship. And that's why you hate your daddy. And that's why you hate your mama. And that's why you don't love your wife. And that's why you don't love your husband. And that's why you're not getting along with your preacher. And that's why you have some business associates that you fuss with. I'll tell you why. You got slime for mortar. And the water keeps coming in. And it keeps coming in. And it's going to keep coming in. You can patch that roof all you want to. But, brother, the next storm's going to make that water come in. Because the trouble's not the roof. The trouble's not the eaves. The trouble's not the windows. The trouble is you've got a brick building. But the mortar of friendship is slime. Life is made of human relationships. Brother, sister. Brother, brother. Sister, brother. Sister, sister. Father, daughter. Father, son. Mother, daughter. Mother, son. Husband, wife. Employer, employee. Business associates. Mother-in-law. Father-in-law. Father-in-law, them got any business having in-law troubles? None at all. I was my father-in-law's friend, won him to Jesus on his 70th birthday, baptized him that night. I was my mother-in-law's friend. The last word she said that I ever heard her say, she said, I love you too, Jack. We're friends. You said, you always agree with your mother-in-law? I never did agree with my mother-in-law. But we were friends. We were friends. And the mortar of friendship caused Mrs. C.M. Slaughter and her son-in-law to hold together. And the mortar of slime, or slime for mortar, is why you don't get along with your brother and sister. And slime for mortar is why you fuss at your dad and go to your room, put those stupid earplugs in, won't come out. And slime for mortar is the reason you got to trot my office every month or so I can try to patch the roof a little bit. If everybody in this room today, every marriage could be settled in this room today if you decide to have friendship hold your marriage together. Friends. Friends. They had slime, had they, for mortar. I say it again. I don't have fallen outs. I never have had a fallen out. Never. I do not ever remember having a falling out with anybody. Because falling outs are caused by lack of friendship. Falling outs are caused by your selfishness because they did not please you. Well, my desire is not for them to please me. My desire is to please them. So I don't have fallen outs because I don't have fallen ins. I didn't fall in, I chose to come in. Because I chose to come in, the relationships of my life are held together by mortar and not slime. The mortar of friendship. Would you bow your heads, please?